Hello, this is Tommyside Solutions, May 2010, and this month we're going to talk about the three sides of high leverage business development. Do you know that blonde people have the most hair, while the average human head has about 100,000 hair follicles, blondes average 146,000 follicles? With about 86,000 follicles, nature is the stingiest to redheads, although based on various psychological research studies, they make up for their follicle shortcomings in temper. While this is a bombastically splendiferous fact, especially considering that I'm a blonde. Well, physically I used to be, in spirit I still am. Does that matter? Does that count? But the comforting part is that when it comes to business development, we have only three major aspects of business development to deal with, not thousands. And that's definitely good news. Yet, sometimes even these three aspects are too much to work on, and many IT companies choose to simply increase their raw efforts and leave the other factors alone. It's like the fertility clinic encouraging the eunuch to gobble down more Viagra in order to start a family. And while the clinic makes good money on the Viagra, the poor bastard's resilient Viagra munching keeps producing pretty, well, soft results. And the soft results remain even if he decides to attend a few personal development seminars with some of the best motivational speakers. Similarly, when IT companies' main strategy to beef up their business development is merely doing more of the same in a more resilient fashion, the end result can be pretty nasty. Yet, when the numbers don't add up, most of them hire more salespeople, more cold callers, or increase the number of cold calls callers have to make. More of the same, more of the same. That's what the universe is all about. So, what are the three aspects to consider when building a high-performance, high-expectation business development team? I see the three ingredients in leadership, the people, and the systems the people use. Since, as the saying goes, fish rots from the head, let's start with the leadership part because everything stands or falls on it. I think Peter Drucker was right when he said that most companies were overmanaged and underled. That is, business development people are micromanaged on a second-by-second basis, but no one knows what exactly the company's business development is all about. So, let's take a closer look at the leadership side of business development. The leadership side of business development is all about building a holographic business development team. Why holographic? Briefly, when two laser beams intercept, the interference creates a pattern of light waves and dark ripples. If one of the lasers reflects off of an object before interception and it's reflected to a photographic surface, you capture the three-dimensional image of the object. And the interesting part of the hologram is that if you break it into little pieces, each piece contains the whole object. In holographic teams, every team member has the full organizational code. In holographic teams, every team member has the full organizational code in her behavior and operation. That is, you can replace team members with each other and they can carry on as if nothing had happened. This is why I like calling this team a business development commando. In a commando, every team member has his core expertise, but if someone dies or gets injured, any other team member can jump in and pick up the fallen colleague's work. In the military, cross-trained special forces soldiers earn significantly more than normal soldiers, the narrow-trained specialists. Similarly, in business development, folks who are suitable for holographic teamwork demand higher pay than their typical business development specialists. The unemployment lines are full of IT specialists with master degrees and above, but people who have up-to-date technical skills coupled with business savvy and social intelligence receive enough offers to last for six lifetimes. Technical skills can take you as far as the hallway to talk to purchasing agents, but only business skills and social intelligence can get you into the boardroom to talk to the top dogs, because top dogs in the boardroom use a different language from purchasing agents in the hallways. The holographic nature of the team is important because it works on client acquisition and retention in an integrated, holistic manner. Yes, we can split business development into marketing, sales, client fulfillment, but realistically, it must be a seamlessly integrated process. For example, look at medicine. There are specialist doctors like cardiologists, podiatrists, gynecologists, etc. The problem is that they look at medicine from their own perspectives and ignore the rest. When a podiatrist looks at a cardiac arrest victim, he shakes his head incredulously. I have no idea why he died. He has perfect feet. By contrast, when a cardiologist puts the stethoscope on the chest of a car accident victim with broken legs, he may say to this person in a reprimanding way, "Your heart is in perfect health. What are you wasting the taxpayers' money lying in a hospital? Get back to work right now, you bloody slacker." And unless you have private medical, even the doctor's tone of voice is pretty close to what we just heard. Well, I suppose this is the reason why Dr. House can get away with his behavior. He couldn't do that in a private hospital. He can do it in a state hospital. Now, compare this approach to how holistic healers and naturopathic doctors examine their patients. They check the flow of energy, qi, in the body. They know that everything stands or falls on how the flow or lack of flow of energy. Not the heart, not the foot or other bits and bobs individually, but the overall energy flow in the whole body. Business development as a process and a business development team must be looked at the same manner. It's foolish to split it up by functions, which ultimately creates silos within the department. You have to work on creating energy flow both in your people and in your systems. With your people, you also have to focus on soft stuff like passion, drive, ambition, enthusiasm, that sort of thing. Your system success lies in how labor light, predictable, repeatable, and quantifiable your systems are. And there must be a seamless energy flow at three levels. People to people, how people interact with each other. System to system, how processes join together to make up the whole system. And people to system, how people and systems interact with each other. So make sure your business development is done in a holistic way so you will never have to revert to heavy-duty and highly invasive manual labor business development, which can leave you with some pretty nasty scars. Let's just think, what do rats do when they are cornered? Well, they go berserk and attack. And what do buyers do when they are cornered? Well, they build sophisticated peddler fodders, hide behind them, and yell at peddlers.
Off with his head! Off with her 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 head!
Well, that's the message. Die, peddler, die. The sooner the better. The high expectation team. As humans, we are interesting creatures. The more we are expected of, the better we perform. People who work out with personal trainers the first time notice they can run faster and lift heavier weights. People who work out with personal trainers the first time notice they can run faster and lift heavier weights. How come? Well, expectations. What happens is that someone expects more of you than you expect of yourself, so you merely live up to the trainer's expectations. I'm a hobby personal fitness trainer and lifestyle coach working with female executives and business women, and I've observed over the years that my clients can perform as much as 15-30% better when they are working out under my guidance. And while I don't go to the gym with clients, but they have this accountability system set up with me, so they have to report their progress, and this reporting process makes all the difference. Everything is the same except my expectations. And since they've invested in my help, pay me basically, they expect more of themselves. And that means there is someone who always expects more than their "I'm doing my best" delusion. I call it delusion because usually it is. People say, "I'm doing my best." Yes, you're doing your best all by yourself, because as human beings, psychologically, we always do our best under the circumstances. But if with the help of an objective outsider, we can change the circumstances, that so-called best changes too. So what we do is we acknowledge achievements and then we raise the bar. In fitness, this is called the SAD principle, specific adaptation to impose the demand. There are four ingredients we require in high expectation team members: commitment, having a sense of ownership of their words and deeds; cooperation, having a team enough ego to be able to exist without competing against colleagues. We have to notice that by nature, humans are not set up for collegial, collaborative work. Humans are naturally competitive, and they try outdo the others. And we have communication, having the skills and willingness to exchange information and communicate with each other. And the fourth is contribution, having the drive to offer their best and brightest to achieve joint objectives. Oh, and this high expectation approach applies not only for team members but to prospects too. That is, you must do business development on your own terms, guided by your own values and a sense of autonomy. Paraphrasing Peter Block's comments in his book Flawless Consulting, the problem with bending over backwards for prospects and clients is that they assume that this is your normal working position. They keep dumping more and more work on you, demanding more and more from you, for the same fee, of course, and you will never be able to walk and work straight up ever again. So what's autonomy? It is doing your work to the beat of your own drum, and when prospects ask you to bend over backwards for them, you have the spine, guts and balls to tell them no and walk away if necessary. Not because they are bad people. No, they are great people, and they will be masterfully served by another company that can accommodate their excessive demands. There are lots of companies out there that happily accept the crappiest assignments, but it doesn't have to be your company. For instance, one point of autonomy I suggest my clients is to set first appointments in their offices and not to travel. No, it's not about the advantage of the home turf. it's simple time management. You see, many prospects are flakes and chronically late from appointments. Many simply forget about appointments, even the ones with fancy electronic organizers. Actually, the fancier the organizers are, the more likely they are to forget about appointments. At least this is my experience over the years. And some intentionally stand you up. You show up at their place and they are nowhere to be found. So that's why you use your own office. Or you set the location so they have to travel. So let's discuss some team issues here. There are three ingredients here. The people who actually operate the system and do the work. The system which people operate, and the leadership part to set the vision and strategy of the company so people always know what is happening and they have a sense of what they are contributing to. Now look at the diagram. People are working hard. This is a field number one. People are working hard to execute the strategy but are reinventing the wheel daily, wasting precious time and piles of money on manual labor grunt work, including cold calling, pavement pounding, and door knocking. The field number two, lack of direction. People are operating the systems very effectively, but they don't know where the company is going. It's like a rocking chair in motion. Lots of activity, but no progress. Field number three, there is a problem. There is great leadership and amazing systems, but there is nobody to actually do the work. There are no quality people. And field number four, all elements are in place under the guidance and direction of proper leadership. Inspired people operate effective systems, producing fairly consistent and predictable results with minimum effort and maximum success rate. A little bit about this predictable stuff, predictability. It's not about being boring. It's just like I like challenging projects, I guess most people love challenging projects too. But when we apply certain systems, we can create a certain level of predictability. Like if you work on a complex project that needs lots of calculation, a form of system is having a pocket calculator with you. So the system, the calculator, makes your life easier, but the project itself is still challenging and exciting and interesting. So that's what I really mean. And now we've arrived at the people side of business development. So what does it take to create a business development commando? You can have the best equipment, the nicest offices, the world's best CRM system, but without committed, accountable, and disciplined people, all that stuff is roughly as useful as a fart in a windstorm. So when you advertise for new hires for your business development department, you may want to forget the typical $10 an hour deal most companies offer. As the British say, if you pay peanuts, you get only monkeys. And this is the interesting part of the deal. Since birds of the feather flock together, only monkeys operating monkey businesses are looking for other monkeys, so they offer peanuts as reward. And by staggering coincidence and the laws of fishing, your bait defines the type of fish you catch. So for 10-15 bucks an hour, you get people whose shoe sizes exceed their IQs, who just like ostriches have larger eyes than brains. All in all, you end up hiring the local potheads, no-hopers, and some chartered members of the local association of village idiots. And that's not a good idea. Just think about Formula One car racing. The cars are basically the same. Whether a car comes in first or last is up to the people who design, drive, and service them. after winning two consecutive championships with Benetton in 94 and 95. In 96, Michael Schumacher moved to Ferrari and won five consecutive titles between 2000 and 2004. By contrast, Nigel Mansell didn't win even a sausage while at Ferrari. He managed to win one championship in 92 while at Williams. Organizations are the same. People are the only differentiating factor companies have nowadays. Everything else comes from the same few suppliers and they are available to anyone in any industry. You need people to operate the system under great leadership. And people must be in harmony with the company's leaders as to where the company is going and growing. And just as every soldier is entitled to have great commanders, every team member is entitled to have a great team leader. At the end of the day, it is the leader who makes sure the team is progressing in the right direction. So you have three considerations with your people. So now let's discuss people here. Technology skills, the necessary technology skills that qualify you to do the work in the first place. Business skills, a solid level of business savvy in order to understand how your technical solutions manifest themselves as business improvement and measured in the boardroom. People skills, the skills required to collaborate with a broad range of professionals. And now, let's see. In field number one, these people have technical and people skills, so they understand the technical work and can interact with others, but they don't have business savvy, so they can't have boardroom credibility. They don't have the skills to interact with boardroom caliber people. This company is likely to remain a fungible vendor. Field number two, these people have business savvy and people skills but are short on technical skills. They can land sweet deals but don't have the capacity to do the work. The problem is that since there are multiple buyers on the client side, this technical shortcoming is likely to surface and the company loses the deal. Field number three, these people have technical skills and business savvy, but are missing people skills. They may be geniuses, but don't have the skills to communicate that brilliance, so it doesn't get recognized. They could do great work, but can't land business. And people in field number four, these people have all three skills. They have people skills to interact with others, business skills to diagnose buyer situations from the business versus technology standpoint, and technical skills to do the work. The way I see it is that in order to rise above the commoditized world of the fungible vendor, the same people who sell the work also must do the work. This is why doctors and lawyers charge a fortune but don't have objections from their patients and clients. In their worlds, sellers are doers too, and that alone significantly increases perceived value. Well, hell, I would call it a pretty good model. And now let's take a look at the system side of business development. In order to develop consistent, predictable, and fairly duplicable service delivery, IT businesses have to develop processes and systems to render their services. So let's discuss systems here. You have to see your business development activities as a system with specific processes. Some processes can be automated, some are manual, and there is not a sausage you can do about it. I often tell clients to motorize the interest and humanize the commitment. You can keep in touch with interested buyers using 100% automation and zero human effort. Where the buyer's interest becomes commitment, then we can add human touch to the equation. But now we are talking to a serious buyer. Nevertheless, Of course, the aim is to automate as much as possible in your business development, but certain things just have to remain manual. Nevertheless, your operation must be autonomous enough to dictate your own rules of the game. You must be able to do business on your own terms, and you must not let certain prospects spit into your soup saying, "We expect you to halve that price and we pay 90 days net." That's retarded. That's unacceptable. In the movie Excalibur, the sword named Excalibur was the symbol of everything the Knights of Camelot stood for. Every decision was based on the values represented by Excalibur. You must be able to express your rules of the game without worrying how prospects will feel and whether or not they get pissed off with you. As Roy Williams, the Wizard of Ad, says, "This is who we are and what we stand for. You can like it, you can lump it, or you can take it down the road and dump it. But we will forever remain who we truly are." And that's what you have to be, no matter what. If you believe that your business practices are ethical, moral, and all that, you believe in doing business that way, and don't accept any other ways of doing business. Don't accept requests from buyers to violate your own terms. And many aspects of this can be automated. For instance, you don't need to tell every prospect what you stand for. You just create an ideal client profile and prospects can deselect themselves. You see, no manual labor is required. So, looking at the system side, we have prospect development. This is the process of generating sales leads and nurturing those prospects to the point of conversion. Prospect conversion, the process of converting prospects into paying clients based on your perfect client profile. And value delivery, the process of delivering the kind of value to which the client says, "This was a bargain," and you say, "We've made a sweet margin on this baby, on this project." So field number one, this is the typical internet marketing company. It has huge traffic to the website, lots of low quality leads and great valuable services, but the website fails to convert visitors to paying clients. Of course, you can't convert low quality leads. Therefore, most internet companies employ legions of salespeople pounding pavements and banging on telephone dialing pads, dialing for dollars to get clients. Field number two, this is the typical scumbag company with dubious services. It can generate lots of leads and convert them into paying clients, but what they offer is of no value. Many search engine optimization firms suffer from this. Not so much now, suffered when search engine optimization was still sort of wasn't as mainstream as it is nowadays, but was more of a bit of a black magic. What they failed to realize, though, was that search engine optimization done in isolation doesn't necessarily translate into ROI. Thus, they have huge client attrition. Field number three, this is the typical professional service firm like accountants and lawyers. They can convert prospects to clients for their valuable services, but they don't have enough qualified leads to be converted. They have lead generation problems. Number four is when everything is in place, plenty of leads are, high quality leads are generated, and they are converted at a good rate, and the company has great products and services which represent distinctive value for the target market. Organization expert David Allen, the Getting Things Done GTD guy, is fond of saying the definition of work is anything that has to be done as and is not done yet. And getting things done. It's a systematic approach to getting things done with the least amount of physical and psychic effort. That's the idea. Now, some people may accuse David of being lazy, and he openly admits he is. And this is why he's invented the GTD system. But in spite of his quote-unquote laziness, he's achieved great things in business, and I'm sure, based on his reputation, his clients are very, very delighted with the improvements David has brought into their lives. And this is all about the system. So, on summary, so we've seen the three sides of high leverage business development. I've decided to call the model high leverage because it's not based on doing more of the same by hiring more people, as so many IT companies do, but doing less of something totally different and keeping headcount as small as possible. Some people may see it as a flaw because they think it limits revenue potential. And it may, in a way. But I don't want to maximize gross revenue. I want to optimize the company's performance for a few indicators, including but not limited to net profit per employee. So let's touch on maximization versus optimization. Maximization looks at one single absolute performance indicator, like sales, profit, etc. Optimization looks at multiple relative performance indicators, like revenue per employee, profit per employee, profit per client. So for optimization, we always use relative indicators. There is no point in saying that my car can cover 200 miles in 1 minute, in 1 hour, 1 day, or 1 week. That's the difference. Just because the car can do 200 miles, it's a pretty useless piece of information, unless we know how long does it take for that car to cover the distance. Or saying that my car drinks 2 gallons of fuel. 2 gallons per mile, 2 gallons per inch, or what? What distance can that car cover with 2 gallons of fuel? Unlike maximization, optimization looks at the whole system. This is like the laundry line effect. You pull on a bra strap at one end of the line and some socks and knickers start dancing at the other end of the line. Garments are tied to the line independently but move together. And the movement of one garment has an effect on the movement of some other garments at the other end of the line. This is why optimizing several factors is a lot harder than maximizing one. And this whole idea we've been discussing here about this high leverage business development is how to optimize the operation, how to optimize multiple factors as opposed to maximize gross sales. And here are some interesting examples. In 2008, Hewlett-Packard made the highest amount of gross revenue, 118.36 billion. Google was ranked at 9th place, doing 21.8 billion. And here comes the twist. In terms of net profit per employee, Google was ranked first, $209,624, and HP was ranked at 14th at 25,947. Google has a 5.15 revenue to profit ratio, that is 19% of the top line goes to the bottom line. HP has a 14.2 revenue to profit ratio, that is 7% of the top line goes to the bottom line. Now, which company do you think performs better? And besides the money, Google has created such a great culture that people from all over the world are lining up wanting to work at Google. HP hasn't produced that yet. What we've just discussed here focuses on creating high net profit per employee, while it also focuses on creating a conducive culture in which people want to do their best and brightest so they can achieve a high level of professional fulfillment, and they don't, and these people don't need managing in a traditional carrot and stick manner. This culture thing makes me think of vacations. Some of my friends quickly get to their destinations and stay there for a few weeks. Some others take their time to get there and enjoy every moment of the journey and the scenery. Some people run their big companies in a get-to-the-money-quickly fashion. Some run their companies in an enjoy-the-journey fashion. Yes, they go for the money too, but they also want to enjoy the journey of getting to the money. So when you align your company around the three sides of business development, you end up with an enjoy the journey type company. You make great profits, and all the people who are involved with your company in any shape or form enjoy working with you because they enjoy the wealth creation process. And while the company is producing great profits, all the people involved enjoy great professional fulfillment, or even using Maslow's words, self-actualization. And this is a lot better than working in a gulag-style shithole that makes a pisspot of money for the shareholders while keeping everyone else as poor as the church mouse. Or am I just delusional? Anyway, if you like the idea, hop over to the blog. You find the link at the end of the written version of this newsletter, and let's discuss my delusion in some detail if you're interested. Otherwise, you know, that was Tommy Side Solutions, and we discussed the three sides of high leverage business development. So have a great month, have a great week, and we talk next month. In the meantime, all the best.